to the Caledonian Investment Management Macro Podcast, hosted by me, Andrew Thompson. Welcome back, everyone, to the latest Alpha Beta Partners podcast. I'm Andrew Thompson, and I'm joined, as ever, by good friends John Reynolds and Asim Javid. Lots to chat through. Let's get going. Gentlemen, good morning, Asim and John. How are you?
Morning,
good
Andrew.
Morning, Andrew. All good, thanks.
Yeah, excellent. Guys, so lots of conjecture in the market. Are we heading towards a soft landing, a hard landing, no landing, exclamation mark? What sort of landing are we considering, and what might be those implications, John?
Okay, well, I suppose we've got to look at it. It just depends through which whose eyes you're looking at this from. If you're looking at it, say, from the US perspective, at the moment, the global consensus is that despite the uptick in US unemployment, which obviously led to the 50 basis point cut to some degree from the Fed yesterday evening. The recession risk is still put around about 30%. So at the moment, the market's still saying we'll probably avoid a hard landing in the States. But I think if we sort of look further afield, we can look at what's happening in China and come back to look at what's happening in Europe, where actually the picture is a bit more glum than it is in the States at this point in time. But let's just stick with the States for the time being. You've got earnings growth has been decent coming through Q2. Corporates, generally speaking, have been holding up with inflation now pushing down towards 2%. Real wages are actually rising. So the big component of US GDP is, of course, consumption. And so we're going to see real earnings growth, which will underpin consumption in the States moving forward to next year. So if you look at, say, the States in isolation, there's still a case to say that it will be a slow or soft landing in the States, and potentially with about 1.5% growth next year. But wider afield, it is looking a bit more difficult. China does appear to be slowing down faster than the people's bank would like. Obviously, they've targeted 5% growth this year. But if you look in under the bonnet and look actually what's going on, industrial output in August, retail sales, fixed investment, urban unemployment rate has risen to a 6-month high. House prices have fallen and are all at the fastest pace in the past 9 years. So China does appear to be slowing quite fast. And at the same time, it's stockpiling, it's exporting deflation to the rest of the world. And if you look at Europe, obviously Germany is actually in skirting with and has been a recession for some time now. France just barely ahead of the game. So I think the key here is that the world economy looks pretty finely balanced. And at the moment, actually, global industrial economic activity may be weaker than many appreciate. It's interesting, one or two of the people we follow have pointed to the fact that, the Korean business sentiment tends to be quite a good global canary, and their business sentiment is coming off. Container freight rates are falling sharply. So the global traded goods sector looks as if it's locked down in deflation. Now, that's good news in the sense that it means the global inflation picture is under control. What's that doing? That's enabling, obviously, global central banks to ease generally. And that process is underway, and now the Fed's fully behind it. So I guess, if you take on the plus side, the soft landing will be, look, okay, yes, there is weakness out there. The world economy is soft, probably softer, and the US is probably doing better than generally a lot of the global economy. But we've now got to the point where all central banks are now moving in the same direction. So in a sense, the super tanker, the monetary super tanker is turning, in the sense that, short rates are being cut. And at the same time, post-election in the States and elsewhere, it's likely that we'll continue to see further fiscal spending coming through, sort of adding to. So I suppose on the plus side for the world economy is slow, but it isn't totally recessionary yet. Rates will be cut against that backdrop to try and avoid, obviously, further weakness in the economy. And the deflationary forces from China are sort of offset, enabling that process to happen. So it is a fine balance, and probably in my mind, actually, the harder landing is probably a higher percentage than the consensus currently forecasting, when I add that all up. So I think looking it through the US lens, yeah, maybe we get a soft-ish landing, but elsewhere it's going to be difficult if you're not getting m much growth coming out of China, deflationary forces coming there. Where's the impetus for growth? Where's the pull for growth coming from the rest of the world? So I think we're going through slightly more tricky times over the course of the next 12 months.
Yeah, thank you, John. That's thoughtful as ever. So, Asim, your go, I suppose. But let's factor in, as John said there, the 50 basis points cut in rates in US overnight. Does that signify a concern about economic slowdown, or is it a fairly light and easy economic backdrop and a soft landing? What are your thoughts on it, please?
Right. Okay. So I'll give you the soft landing and the hard landing side first. On the softer side, you've got strong credit market, resilient economy, and that's something which Powell's presser also mentioned: 2% plus GDP growth in the U.S., full employment, and secular growth drivers such as AI, and moderating inflation. All good, and easing financial conditions plus global M2 money supplies also increasing. So all of that points to a softer landing scenario. On the harder landing side, you've got leading and coincident indicators, including jobs data, despite that he said about 62.7% of the labor participation rate, weaker bank deposits and deflationary impulse from China and freight rates, as John mentioned. The other one is NAHB housing index decline, consumer confidence, and interest payments as a percentage of disposable income. All of that points to sort of not so soft landing. And add long duration US Treasury action and FOMC's rate cut, and you have a case for possible hard landing. Now, 50 basis points, why? I mean, this is something which I've been scratching my head since yesterday. Powell mentioned a few times that the Fed remains data dependent, right? We get it. And as such, data doesn't warrant a cut. If you look at CPI, it's not at 2%, although it's moving towards 2%. If you remove the owner's equivalent rent from it, then you have a goods in deflationary mode, and you have around 1.3%. Unemployment is nudging higher, but as Jay Powell mentioned, that it is actually a full market. It's not a very bad number. 4.2 is a really good number. And a very strong and full labor market. Economy is in a great shape, to quote Jay Powell, with GDP above 2%, then why cut rates by 50%? And this is something which I've been trying to get my head around this. I mean, we expected around 25%, but the market probabilities were around 50-ish percent. And if you look at the long duration bonds, they've been factoring in this sort of rate cuts for some time now. Now, does that mean that the bonds, long bonds especially, know something that we don't? And it points to the price action at this point, points to that, despite us being in the camp that maybe there can be a policy change once the new government comes in and the issuance policy may change, and that'll be a not so good thing for bonds. But I think as we sit here today, and as John mentioned, that there are some risks on the horizon now for a possible hard landing, and that's probably what the bond market is sensing. And if you look at the T-bills versus RRP at this point, reverse repo rates are also above T-bills, which is also kind of a not, I wouldn't say a warning, but it lends to the idea that the funds can move from the market into the reverse repo side, which also creates a QT type effect. So all of that combined creates a not so good picture for a soft landing. But we are still sitting on a fence at this point. Is it a soft landing? Is it a hard landing?
Okay, all right, I understand. Thank you. So one sort of key item, I suppose, in portfolio construction, impacting listeners and indeed their clients, is the correlation between equities and bonds. The long run correlation is, of course, for fixed income to act as something of a buoyancy aid or a shock absorber, if you like, when equity markets fall. And that relationship has been out of kilter now for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. One thing that's very positive and has crept back in almost unnoticed is the resumption of that beneficial relationship between fixed income and equities. Asim, do you just want to sort of tell us a little bit about that and where do you think that positive change has come from?
I think it's down to the common denominator that's been inflation. So in inflationary environment where inflation moved above 3-ish%, we saw a lot of positive correlation between bonds and equities. And then since the inflation is heading below 3-ish%, we've started seeing that positive, or sorry, negative correlation coming back in. And in a sense, it's a good thing, and also it depends on what the monetary policy side is doing. So good in a sense because bonds are a risk-off device, and if there is a risk in the environment or in the financial environment, you would expect bonds to provide that buoyancy aid. And I think it's healthy to note that you can see long-end bonds, especially long-duration bonds, exhibiting that negative correlation with equities. Now, what does that mean? Is it in line with the thinking that maybe bonds are sensing something other than soft landing? Maybe. But it also, if you think about how the events took place, we had a market sold off in 2022. We had a bottom in TLT or long bonds in around 2022, 2023. And since then, we've seen a lot of volume coming into the bond market purely from trading aspect. We've seen a lot of volume coming into the long end of the yield curve. So I think that's all contributed to a negative correlation with equities, especially when we've seen some stress in August.
Okay, yeah. John, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important thing from a 60-40 portfolio here, given the risk that we're talking about to world growth, is that the bonds can act as the shock absorber here, and providing a buoyancy aid when perhaps the going gets a bit tougher for equities over the next 12 months. And of course, the other point is the perspective, historical perspective. We came out what was a 40-year bull run for bond markets a few years back, and we talked about the normalization of rates, and we saw a sharp rise in short and long rates. And we've now got value back in bond markets. So, the reason why people are buying bond markets now is because they're offering, some decent value at last there with positive real rates on offer. So, everything in context. So I think the point now is that moving forward, if you can, clip sort of 3.5 to 4% on a bond with certainty, and a bit less obviously in Europe, where obviously rates were a good deal lower, but not too dissimilar here in the UK, of course. And that is with inflation at 2%, that's reasonable. That's a reasonable guaranteed return if you're prepared to sort of lock it away and hold it, compared to what may happen now if we move into a global recession, Is there enough compensation? Is the equity risk premium big enough at this point in time? Now, in the States, the problem is the equity risk premium has shrunk. We've touched on this before. We said, look, you can't have it always. With the equity risk premium low, you generally speaking, would expect returns from equities to be relatively modest, unless obviously, and you require, and that obviously requires the earnings momentum to be maintained. At the moment, the market is still confident enough to think that there will be positive earnings growth next year. Declining, but bond rates may come down. That can provide some sort of upside for equities. But if any of that's wrong, i.e., if the landing is harder and the earnings are more negative than the market forecasts, that's going to be problematic for the equity market. Now, certainly in the States. So, I guess the short answer is that it's a helpful situation that bonds are now offering that buoyancy aid, given the uncertainties that are currently ahead of us.
Yeah, thanks, John. Okay, so let's change the flavor a little bit. Let's now consider China. Obviously, the world's second largest economy seems to really struggle to emerge from the COVID issues. We've seen lots of battery electric vehicles coming to UK and certainly trying to get into other markets. And so what's happening in China? It doesn't seem to be moving particularly swiftly, despite that. And any impact to our portfolios, Asim?
So we exited China probably around in 2021 as a position, and we were very cautious of what was happening in China because of the lack of clarity on policy side. Since then, we've always maintained that if there is an uptick in China in equities, let's say for example, and that's supported by a policy change, then we'll be interested. But we've not seen that policy working from PBOC or from the Chinese CEC. So we have stayed sort of clear from Chinese exposure. And again, as a part of the global portfolio, there'll always be some exposure. But as a specific China exposure, we've sort of stayed clear of that. What is happening in China? Recent export volume data shows trending up. Exports price data shows tick down, and it sort of fits with our thesis that China is reacting to protectionist measures by the US, UK, and EU, especially by lowering prices and exporting deflation. And I think this has been our central case for almost a year now, that China will start exporting inflation to make sure, and subsidizing their manufacturing side to ensure that they've got a less of a problem on unemployment side. And I think that's exactly how it is being played out at this point. Now, one thing from my travels recently, I've noticed that as per our thesis, that all of that supply, oversupply on Chinese side may find its way into other markets. And I've seen an evidence of that recently, that supply is finding its way into Asia and Africa. And all of that is at a lower cost. So yeah, so China is firmly in supporting and subsidizing their manufacturing side, keeping the population under control, and exporting deflation. So is it a good point for us to enter on the risk side? No. And this is a conversation we've had in I think it was February's podcast, where we saw an impulse move in China, and we held that as a view at that point that this is a dead cat bounce, and it has played out exactly as we expected. I would expect it to go further down, and if it starts adding some value and also the policy support comes in, then we'll be interested. But for now, I don't think we are there.
Okay, thank you, John.
Yes, I mean, Asim sort of outlined our position, and thankfully we have been avoiding China for some time, as Asim alluded to. And actually, let's take a step back and look at what it's actually done. That's actually been quite a beneficial impact on portfolios, because Year to date, the Shanghai Composite Index is actually down 8% since the beginning of 2024. That's in sharp contrast to the rises in the States that we've seen and elsewhere. 10-year bonds yielding only 2.05% as of today, which is very close to historic lows. So, there's you can see that it's a problem. The Shanghai Index is just bouncing off 5-year lows. So, you might be tempted to think, well, 5-year lows, that could be tempted to nibble away here. But, the point about it is the impulse behind the economy is still weakening. So, it might just be early days in China. So I think, it's quite right that we're a little bit cautious. As I mentioned at the beginning of the initial answer, a lot of the underlying numbers in China are still weakening. We the prop the impact on the property market is still reeling. We could be talking about a sort of balance sheet type recessionary environment, which is really where basically consumers, having seen the prices of houses going down, really start to constrain their spending. Consumer confidence is still weakening in China. So while the exporting side is holding up through price cutting and exporting deflation, the consumption and the consumer and consumer confidence is not strong. House prices are weak. The real balance sheet restriction is still going on there. So I think just add to what Asim's saying, while there might be a temptation of looking at the market close to 5-year historic lows to be nibbling away, it still looks a little bit early to us. Now, by the time this podcast goes out, the People's Bank of China will have done something on Friday. We're recording this today on Thursday, the 19th. So tomorrow, on the 20th, the People's Bank of China are expected to look at whether or not they're going to adjust. Maybe, and the key focus here is going to be what happens to the 1-year loan prime rate, because that's the reference rate for corporate and household loans. That's currently at 3.85%. And obviously also looking at the 5-year rate, which is currently 3.85%, and that's the reference rate for property mortgages. Both of those probably likely to be edged down a little bit to try and encourage, a bit more activity. So, China exporting deflation, I think, is the big story. The global economy probably weaker than the consensus expect. The chances of a harder landing probably slightly higher than the consensus currently expects. And I think, when we look at, the States, and just finishing on the States, the key thing that we're going to be looking at, and we've mentioned this time after time, is the unemployment rate. Obviously, that's what the Fed, the Ch Chairman Powell's responded to some degree, they're saying, but just remember, unemployment tends to be a bit of a lagging indicator, and I would expect, given the conditions in the labor market, those unemployment numbers to start ticking up. And it's at that point where I think the market will get more nervous about the hard versus soft landing. So that's where our focus has to be, really, on the US unemployment numbers, which I think will continue to remain the key focus on markets' attention over the course of the next 3 to 6 months.
Guys, thank you very much indeed. Great place to draw stumps on this podcast, I think. So informative as ever. Performance has been, decent during the summer, and we'll try and do our next one in round about a month's time, trying to keep it short and sweet as we can. So without any further ado, thank you very much indeed for listening. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining. Speak soon.
Thanks,
Thank
Andrew.
you.
This content is distributed by Alpha Beta Partners Limited, who are authorized by the FCA. This content is targeted at professional investors only.